Welcome to the City Park Church Podcast. We are changing the culture of the city through the message of hope. Please share at cityparkchurch.com how God has touched your life through our messages. Thank you for listening.
Had a great weekend. We celebrated Pastor Glenn Johnson's son. His only son got married, and it was an outdoor wedding on Friday night. So we're wondering, I wonder how this is all going to go, because it was getting cold, it was getting rainy, and it was up in Camas on the Washougal River, which an amazing property, beautiful right on the river. It didn't rain. They had the chairs covered ahead of time, and they had a huge tent for the reception after that. But it was really nice because we got to see a lot of our pastor friends, along with Rick and Linda Sharkey. This is their weekend of the celebration, 35 years in ministry at the same church that they started. So 35 years, that's a good long time. And the other milestone, I was talking to Mike and Libby, their parents, the church that they go to, their pastor's 50 years, right? 50-year anniversary at the same church. And he's, how old is he? 80, almost 90 years old, still preaching. So that is honorable. That is pretty amazing to have that longevity in ministry. So God is good. Last night, I took my wife out on a date, which husbands should be doing that every now and then. Come on. Should be spending some money on you, honey, right? $4 at the Mount Hood Theater, all right? It was a good date. We went to see the incredible action-filled power-packed movie Cinderella, all right? It was really good. It was a really good movie. The thing that I got out of it was the relationship of the prince and the father. It was just a really beautiful picture of God, and there's just honor for each other. So it's a really, Disney did a really good job with the movie. Great family movie to go to, and it's only $4. You can go there this afternoon and take your honey and spend some money. For $4, you can actually afford popcorn, you know, because that's only like $4 or $5 too. Unless you're the kind of people that sneak stuff in because you don't want to pay. Anybody like that? All right. We admit it. Gummy bears. Mike and Ike's. Yep. So we're ending our series today on called Brilliant. And we just believe that God sent the most brilliant Savior, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sin. And he is a genius. And so the last, you can actually get all of our messages online for free. You can go right to our website, right on the homepage, or you can actually go to one of our accounts. They're in all different kinds of accounts, including iTunes. So I want to talk about prediction, prophecy, or promise. Prediction, prophecy, or promise. Now, the game of life is guaranteed to have many upsets and victories. And the odds of us foretelling the future are difficult. But what if it was possible to guarantee that some predictions in our lives were really unfailing promises? What I love about Jesus is Jesus singled out people and called them by name and ministered to them personally. One of my favorite guys in the Bible is Peter. And Peter was that kind of guy who was over the top. He was a fisherman. He was rough. He was uneducated. He was uncultured. And God chose Peter. Jesus chose Peter as one of his main disciples. He was in the top three. Eventually, Peter becoming the leader of the church in Jerusalem. And God did wonderful things through him, but it wasn't always a bed of roses. It wasn't always easy to see the journey and to read about the journey that Peter went through, because he made a lot of mistakes like we do. But I love how Jesus singled him out one-on-one. First, his name was Peter. I mean, Simon. First, his name was Simon, and Jesus changed it to Peter. Simon literally means shifty like sand, but Peter means the rock. So God transformed this shifty like sand, unstable guy to be the rock that that led the church in Jerusalem. And so let's turn to Luke chapter 22. I want to read this portion of scripture. This is one of those trying times that Peter had in his life. And we can gain a lot of insight into our own personal lives. Because if God did it for the one, he'll do it for us as one. God will minister to us as one. God knows our name. Out of all the billions of people that he's created in the world, he knows us. I'm reminded of the Watoto song. He knows my name. I am not forgotten. You guys know it? I am not forgotten. I am not forgotten. God knows my name. It's one of their signature songs, and they will be coming back 2016 on March 20th. They'll be here. Watoto Children's Choir. They're amazing, okay? Luke chapter 22 and verse 31, Jesus says, Simon, and then he repeats it, Simon. It's interesting. Simon, Simon. I don't know if he's frustrated with him because, you know, as parents, when you're frustrated with our kids, it's like, Benjamin, Benjamin. I think Jesus was a little frustrated. He's like, Simon, Simon. Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat, but I have prayed for you. Isn't it good to know that God's praying for us? I have prayed for you, Simon, he says his name again, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. But he replied, Lord, I'm ready. A lot of times we think we're ready. I'm ready to go with you to prison and to death. I'm ready. Jesus turns around and says, I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny three times you even know me. Predictions. Jesus not only fulfilled all of the prophecies of the Old Testament, all of the predictions that he made on this earth came true and came to pass. How can you not believe that he is the Son of God with all of that proof? So much proof. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm horrible at making predictions, especially sports kind of things. You know, I don't really watch a lot of sports. I love the big games, though. You guys, I mean, because the reason why I love the big games, the Super Bowl, the Olympics, I just like a good party. Anybody like a good party? I always like to get together and have fun, right? And I love the big games. But this past Super Bowl was difficult because, you know, I'm from Massachusetts. I live less than an hour away from Foxborough. You know, so I got the Patriots, and I live here, and I got the Seahawks. So, you know, I've got these two teams that I really like, so it wasn't really fun, you know, because it's kind of like, oh, it doesn't matter who wins. You know, I'm going to cheer for whoever and whoever's ahead, right? I'm going to cheer for whoever's ahead. And, you know, but now with all this deflate, you know, controversy, I'm like, go Seahawks, right? I'm like, so I'm not really good at making predictions. I'm not really good at predicting trends. I was never good at predicting clothing trends, you know, leisure suits. Anybody ever have a leisure suit? I had one. It was green, you know, it was awesome. You know, I can bring it back. Yeah, return it. Walmart will take it back, right? You know, we bought a car for our kids. It's just a cheap car. It was like $2,500 cash, and it had a cassette player in it. And they're all like, well, what's that? I'm like, well, that is a cassette player. Instead of CDs, that's what we used to have. And then my daughter looked at it, and she goes, oh, my friend has one of those. She goes, I know where you can get the adapter to that so you can play your iPod through that. I'm thinking, well, that's cool. I'm glad you know that, you know. And then it went from, you know, cassette players to CDs and DVDs, you know, and you think to yourself, those will never catch on, right? Those DVDs, they break, they scratch easy. And little did we know today that DVDs and CDs are obsolete, you know. If you've still got a bunch of them in your home, it's showing your age, right? Amen? Because it's all about your on-demand movies, and it's all about your iPods and your iPads and all those other things. And I wasn't really good at predicting the success of Google. Because, you know, when Google first came, you know, my friend came up and said, hey, you got to look at this website. It's called Google. I look at the page. I'm like, all it says is Google in a box. You know, what is up with that? I'm used to using Yahoo, you know. It's like big news, all the colors and videos and all this stuff. I'm thinking Google's never going to make it, you know. And then you start using it and you're like, oh, this is the most incredible search engine ever. Who came up with this? But at the beginning, I'm thinking it's just too simple. I never predicted that we'd have church in a historic building in downtown Gresham. Now, my wife did. How many women are much more sensitive to the Spirit of God than men? Can you say amen? Julie's like, yeah, come on. It is so true. She always knows ahead of me, but my wife is very kind and very diplomatic. She will pray that God will show me after God shows her. Amen? So that then she can help me to get in on what God is doing. But women in general definitely are more spiritual than men. I believe they are for sure. I'm also a horrible predictor of people. Someone will come to church and I'll think to myself, they're not coming back. They won't last. And then they end up staying for like 13 years, serving, being faithful, you know, just giving in their all. In our own selves, in our own lives, we are unpredictable. Like, for example, pain is unpredictable. Pain that comes can blindside us. How do you write a prescription for pain and you can't see it coming? Unless it's like allergy season and you know every year if you don't, you know, store up on Allegra, it's not gonna last and not gonna be effective in your body. Anybody love March Madness basketball? Watching all those games? You know, this past year Warren Buffett offered $1 billion to those who could predict every game. $1 billion. That's 63 games. Well, do you know what the odds are? See, he's not stupid, right? Do you know what the odds are of predicting 63 games, all of them? Let me show you what the odds are. I'll throw it up there on the screen. The odds are this. I can't even say the number. A gazillion something, 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 zero, zero, zero. The odds that you would predict the path of your life are not much better. It's statistically impossible. The job of me as a pastor, as your pastor, is to help you to see your future, to help you to plan for your future. That's my passion. That's my goal in life, to help you to build your life on the promises of God. Yet, we can spend so much energy many times trying to predict our path that we have no energy to walk it out or to deal with it. We call those people dreamers. Anybody know the dreamers? They're always dreaming. They got their head in the clouds. And it's great to dream. We all need to dream. We all need to have a vision in life. But some people, that's all they do is dream. That's all they do is fantasize about how things could be, and they never put any feet to their faith and move out and step out in faith and put any action to their faith. And so it's okay to dream, but just lying there dreaming or fantasizing about life is not going to cut it. We are not necessarily called to predict our outcome. We as Christians have been called to walk out his leading every day, being obedient to what he's called us to do step by step. Sure, the Bible says, and you can quote that scripture, he will show you things to come. But he's only going to show you some things. He's only going to give you a glimpse of your future. He may give you a glimpse of next week. He may give you a glimpse of this afternoon. He'll give you a little glimpse down the road of your future. You know, he'll put a word inside of you, you know, like doctor or nurse or you know, business owner or, you know, military career. He'll give you a word. We just spent some time with my high school buddy. I haven't seen him in almost 40 years. He's 30 years retired Army colonel. Retired living in Hawaii. Okay. Nice life. Amen. 53 years old, living in Hawaii, married to a Korean girl that he met in Korea when he was stationed there. And I would have never predicted that outcome. But I said, so how did you get into the military? He said, well, he goes, I needed my college paid for and I signed up for ROTC. But I never thought I would ever end up 30 years retired military. Now he's working for a private security firm, basically double dipping, you know, getting military retirement and full-time security, going all over the world and working for the government. But the Bible says this, we only see in part when we only understand in part. He shows us a glimpse of hope, but not the full picture. And the reason for that is so that we would actively engage in following him and trusting him every day. If he showed you the whole picture, you wouldn't need him. You wouldn't have to pray. You wouldn't have to seek him. If he showed you all the details all at once, you would forget where those details originally came from. He wants us to trust him and to have faith in him every day. I trust you, Lord, to lead and guide me. We need to get up every morning and say, good morning, Jesus. Amen. Good morning, favor. Good morning, love. I know you're sent from heaven above. Walking with him every day. So what are the chances, if we look at Jesus Christ, the Son of God, what are the chances that Jesus Christ would fulfill all of over 300 prophecies in the Old Testament? It's just amazing. It is very convincing proof that he is who he says he is. We have learned to trust him. Why? Because they predicted in the Old Testament that he would be born specifically in the town of Bethlehem. It's amazing. 7 centuries before he showed up. What are the chances that anyone 1,000 years before he came could predict the way that he would even die before that form of capital punishment even existed? Pretty amazing. The chances that a man could fulfill all of those prophecies would be higher than the odds of Warren Buffett's March Madness. A gazillion zeros behind it. To come in the way that he did and to do what he did, to predict that would be humanly impossible. Micah, for example, in the Old Testament tells us where he would be born. David tells us how he would die. Daniel tells us when he would be born. Every prediction, being born to a virgin, that his bones would not be broken as predicted, and that came to pass. It all came together in Jesus. Every prophecy fulfilled in Jesus. I want to let you know this morning that he's real. Are you out there this morning? I said he's real. We serve the true and living one and only God, Jesus Christ, fulfilling all those prophecies. The same word that became flesh was predicted in the very word he was and became. It's amazing. Jesus was a bracket buster. He was a bracket buster, just like he said. Jesus predicted also his life and the course of his life here on earth. While here on earth, everything that Jesus predicted would happen to him and came to pass. Everything. As far as him dying, as far as him being tortured, as far as him rising in 3 days, he predicted the Son of Man was going to be betrayed into the hands of sinners. If you look at Mark chapter 16 and verse 6, Mark chapter 16 and verse 6. Don't be alarmed, he said. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. This was the angel. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. Don't be alarmed. What he was saying to his disciples as they came to the tomb, Mary and Martha, and the disciples ran to the tomb looking, almost as if they were going there to see if it was really true what Jesus said, not really comprehending that all the things that Jesus had said up to this point had already come to pass. Why would you be alarmed? Why would you doubt that Jesus would even do what he said he would do? So they go there. Don't be alarmed, he said. Basically, why are you shocked? He predicted this. Why are you looking for the living amongst the dead? Now, I could preach a whole sermon on that one. Why are you looking for the living? Why do we look for life amongst dead people or amongst dead things? Anybody out there this morning? I think that's going to be the next series. Why are you looking for living among the dead? Why do you keep going to the same relationship over and over again, knowing that that person is going to let you down? Come on, is anybody out there this morning? Come on, this is good preaching, you guys. I need some feedback here. I need some feedback. I mean, this is like one of the biggest dilemmas of pastors and leaders. You're like, why? Why are you doing that again? You know the outcome. Why do you keep going back to the abuser when they've done nothing to prove that they've even changed? Yet you keep going back to them, and you keep going back to them expecting different results when nothing's happening. We got to go where the living is. We got to go where life is. Can you say amen? Why do you keep going back to the same sins thinking somehow it's going to change you when all it does is it causes you shame and guilt and cost you money? All right, I'll move on. I guess that'll be the next series. Mark chapter 16, verse 7, it says, but go, tell his disciples, and this is what I love, because God knows your name. Tell the disciples, the angel said, and Peter. Wow. God knows my name. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. And Peter. And Peter. And Luel. And Sibylle. Are you out there? And Dan. And John. Put your name in the blank. God knows your name. It's possible today that God brought you here and God singled you out. Tell Peter. Tell The Rock. Tell Dwayne Johnson. Sorry, that just came out. Jesus has the powers and the power of prediction. If he says something, he means it. And he has the means to see it come to pass. God makes promises and keeps them. God says, my ways are higher than your ways. So shall my word be that comes out of my mouth. It will accomplish that which I've set it forth to do. So he says, go tell Peter that my prediction came to pass. The one who has fallen away. God is waiting for you. So Luke chapter 22, let's read this portion of scripture. It's another proof that God, his predictions and his insight, he predicted everything in his life, even the little details. See, God can take care of the details of your life. If you're worried about the details, you need to give it up to him. God can take care of all the details if you trust him. Look at this story, because this was an amazing story to me. In Luke 22 and verse 8, it says, Jesus sent Peter and John saying, go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover. Okay, well, here we are in the midst of the tension that's happening in Jerusalem right now. Basically, Pilate and Herod, they want to kill us. They're looking for us. The tension is huge. The Roman presence in the city is huge. Where are we going to eat this Passover meal safely together, they're thinking. So they ask the question, well, where do you want us to prepare for it? Like, where? Where is it going to be safe? He replied, as you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters and say to the owner of the house, the teacher asks, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? He will show you a large room upstairs, all furnished. Make preparations there. They left and found things just as Jesus had predicted, just as he told them. So they prepared the Passover. That's amazing to me. Jesus knew the details. the room that he went there was furnished. They didn't have to go to All Rentals and rent tables and chairs. The furniture was there. It was ready. Amen? I love that story. I'm just thinking about, why do we worry so much about the details of our lives when God knows every detail if we would just trust him? If we would just get up in the morning and you know you've got a tough day ahead, you've got some tough decisions to make. If you would just say, Lord, I thank you, Lord. I know that you live in me. I know that your presence is with me. And I trust you that you are working out the details. You know every detail of my life, and I trust you. Can you say amen? God has already worked it out for you ahead of time. Simon, Simon. See, just because your potential is Peter doesn't mean you arrived yet. He called him Simon, Simon. And Jesus makes this prediction. He said, you will deny me three times before the rooster crows. You're going to fall away. Now you got to love Peter. Because Peter, here is Jesus, the Son of God, sitting in front of him. He contradicts the prediction. How many times have you ever had a word from the Lord and you contradicted it? Somebody come up to you and gave you a word and you knew it was God. God spoke to you through a sermon. God spoke to you in a song and you knew it was God. And you're like, but God, come on. Like, really? Like, you're really going to do that? Like, you think, Jesus, that I'm really going to deny you? I am ready to die for you. Jesus knew the outcome. He says, come on, Jesus. He says, are you sure you didn't mean John? Like, seriously, I mean, you're my bud. I mean, we're friends. You're my bro. Come on. Never. Not me. And we know the outcome. We know that Peter did deny Jesus three times. You know, three is the number of perfection. So basically, denying God three times was complete failure on his part. Complete failure. He hears the rooster crow as a reminder of the prediction that Jesus made. Really solidifies it in there. He's reminded, he's remembering what Jesus said. And it says that he wept, and he didn't just weep a little, he wept bitterly. He cried bitterly, tears that come when you've missed your purpose. Crying and wailing that comes when you know that you've missed what God has for you. When life begins to blindside you. But the angel said, go tell Peter that my prediction came true. Go tell Peter that my prediction came true. Basically, he said, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat. Satan has sifted you as wheat. But Jesus, here's what I think. Jesus prayed that his faith would be strong. He didn't pray that he would not fail. We all, including myself, have epic failures in our lives. We've all done crazy things we regret. We've all let words out of our mouth thinking, why did I say that? Or made decisions based on what we wanted to do because I don't want to follow God anymore. I'm going to do what I want to do, when I want to do it, marry who I want to marry, live where I want to live, work where I want to work, study what I want to study. I don't need you, God. We've all had failures. No matter how far we've gone without God, I want to let you know this morning that he knows your name. And he's calling you back. Amen? He has a future. And he has a plan for you. And he put you on this earth. He put me on this earth for a purpose and for a reason. Not just to exist and not just to get by, but to prosper in his will for our lives. And we should be praying the prayer, Lord, not my will be done, but your will be done in my life. What do you want me to do? All the gifts and the talents that you've given me, how do you want me to live my life on this earth so that it glorifies you with what you've given me? He said, I pray your faith would not fail. Now, if you look at that scripture one more time in Luke chapter 22, the word that stands out to me the most in that whole passage of scripture is this. It says, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And it doesn't say, and if you turn back, Jesus said, and when? And when? And when you've turned back? And when you've turned back, Peter, I want you to get right back up. I want you to get right back in the game. I want you to get right back serving because I believe in you. Are you out there? And when? And when? At the same time you were failing, it never surprised God. He already saw you turning back. Amen? He already saw you. Look at the cross, for example. We could look at the cross, and the Romans looked at the cross, and maybe even his own disciples and family looked at the cross as utter failure. The cross was a symbol of defeat. But he not only predicted the cross, but he predicted him rising from the dead. So it no longer is a symbol of defeat, but it becomes a symbol of victory. There is a future. There is a hope that he has prepared for you. A hope and a promise. He said, the Son of Man shall be betrayed, but after 3 days. Can you say amen? Before sin came into the world, God had a plan for redemption. There are so many Simons in the world. There are so many Simons in the church wondering, can I ever get back? Can I ever get right with God again? Can I ever be free? But if you look at the outcome of what happened with Peter, Peter, yes, had a free will. He had a free will to choose. He could have kept crying. He could have kept running away. He could have kept in guilt and shame. He could have not responded when Jesus rose from the dead and when the angel called his name at the tomb and said, tell the disciples and Peter, Jesus is still after him. Jesus is still calling him. Jesus is still thinking of him. Jesus is still thinking of you no matter how far you have fell, no matter how many times we fail. God has a good plan for our lives and he's calling us back. And when you get over your little thing, amen, not if, and when you get over your addiction, and when you get free from this or that, and when you get over your little, get out of your little pity party for yourself, are you out there? And repent and say, God, forgive me for not following you. I want back in your plan for my life. Because I know that you love me and I know that you care for me. Peter could have wallowed in his sorrow for years. You know, he could have think, I can't get over this. I'm going to need years of psychological counseling. I'm going to have to go through some kind of recovery class. I'm going to need some kind of 12-step program, which aren't all bad. Amen. But I'm going to have to go through that. And it's going to be years before I'll ever do anything for God. And Jesus was like, no, Peter. He's like, I need you now. I have a plan for you now. Come on, are you out there? I want to use you now. Well, I'm too old. Well, stop using excuses. Well, I don't have enough energy. Well, use the energy that you got and God will give you more. Can you say amen? Stop using excuses because God wants to use you. When you get over it, my thing this morning is get over it. Get over it and stop using your failures as an excuse to not serve God and do what he's asked you to do. Because the life that you desire is in him and in his plan. It's in his purpose. You can continue to live with guilt and shame and live the most purposeless life on this earth. It's in him where you find fulfillment and you find victory. You can continue to do it on your own. Guys are famous for this. I'm not going to church today. I don't need God. I don't want to listen to that Pastor Trombi. You go, honey. You take the kids. And what happens is years go by of regret and wish I woulda, probably coulda. And then we look at our kids and what happens is, well, because you didn't go, they're not siding with mama. They're siding with papa. Well, dad ain't going. I don't need to go anymore. And we live with this regret. You know, that's the time where God gets a hold of you and you sit down with your family and say, you know what? I made the wrong choice. Your mother was the one who was faithful to the house of God and served Jesus. You need to do what she's doing. Amen? You need to know that he has an amazing plan for your life. Because if we look at it, it wasn't John who preached on the day of Pentecost. It wasn't Andrew. It wasn't James. It wasn't Mary, his mother, even though she was there. It wasn't one of the 120. It was Peter. It was Peter who months later stood up and preached that first sermon on the day of Pentecost when the Spirit of God was poured out and 3,000 people got first saved and the church began. Hallelujah. Don't underestimate what God wants to do through you. The spirit of prediction, prophecy, and power came on Peter. That same spirit, he is here today. Hallelujah. Sometimes we get in a place in our lives where we thought we would never be. Sometimes we live in the predictions of our past from people who were ungodly. We focus on the words that were spoken over our lives from ungodly or failed parents or teachers or bosses who put you down and never believed in you. And those words ring loud and true in your mind and in your life. But you need to put hope and you need to put trust in the predictions of God's word. Because there's nothing but hope. There's nothing but future. And there's nothing but success in Christ. Doesn't mean we won't fail. Doesn't mean we won't make mistakes. But thank God for his grace and his mercy. Amen. Thank God for his unfailing love. Thank God for his provision and power that we're able to do what he's called us to do on this earth, with him by our side, with him living in us as co-laborers together. God wants to give you that power of prediction and prophecy so that not only do you get to fulfill the things that he said about your life, you then become a leader in the kingdom of God, in your own family, to begin to prophesy and predict with the power of God, which basically means to supernaturally encourage those who are coming after you. Your children, your church, the people you work with, your friends. God is calling us to be prophets to this community. Amen? Calling us to be encouragers. Calling us to be people who are positive people. To lift those up who are depressed. To lift those up who need encouragement. Need to know that God loves them and God has a good plan for them. Peter could have decided, I ain't doing it. Ain't going to that upper room. I don't care where you guys are going. I'm done with this. I'm leaving Jerusalem. I'm going to sneak out of here. I am not going to get killed. I am not dying for Christ. I am not dying for the cause. I'm done. But he didn't choose that. He chose life. He chose purpose. And today, across all the churches in the world, we preach about the tenacity, the rawness, the boldness of Peter, the pastor of the first church, the Church of Jerusalem. Amen? Let's all stand up. God, I'm going to do what you've asked me to do. I'm going to go where you've asked me to go. I'm going to give where you want me to give. I want to be who you want me to be. Amen? Don't want to miss it because I only got so much time on this earth. I'm going to be the father you've called us to be. I'm going to be the mother you've called us to be. I'm going to be the son or the daughter you've called me to be. Hallelujah. God, we've all failed. We've all done crazy things, stupid things. Lord, we repent this morning on this Memorial Day weekend. We don't want to memorialize our guilt and our shame and live in that all the days of our lives. Lord, today we memorialize the cross. As we look at the cross, we don't see failure, we see victory. Hallelujah. We see victory. We see success. We see that you won, Jesus. Hallelujah. So, Lord, help us not to lift up our failures and only look at the failure, Lord. Help us to turn our failure into something amazing. Help us to learn from the mistakes that we've made so that we can then in turn counsel and help other people to get set free. Help us to be those who give advice to those who need advice concerning the things that we've been set free from, the addictions of our past, the mistakes of our past, the things that we've failed in. Lord, we are turning it around. And we are saying, devil, those failures and that shame has no power over us anymore. We refuse to allow it to guide and control our lives and the decisions we make. We refuse to allow that guilt and shame to force us to be silent anymore. To force us to be silent concerning the things that you've called us to say and do concerning your gospel and the preaching of your word that will set people free. Forgive us for crawling back into a hole. Lord, we're coming out this morning and we're saying we're ready to take the grace and the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if that's you this morning, you would say, God, forgive me for allowing my failures to guide my life. I know that you know my name. I know that you're calling my name. You're shouting, Peter, go tell Peter. He's shouting your name. Rich, go tell Rich that I'm alive. Hallelujah. Go tell Eileen that I'm alive. Go tell Jolene I'm alive. Hallelujah. Go tell Shelly I'm alive. I've given you gifts. I've given you things to do on this earth. Run your race. Forget those things that are behind and press forward to the things that he's called you to do. God's telling you that this morning. If you need to ask God to forgive you from sin or failure or things that you've held on in your life and you just want prayer this morning, I'm not going to have you come forward or have an altar call or anything like that. I just want you to acknowledge between you and God. Just raise your hand and put it down. Anyone in the place. Forgive me, Lord. Raise your hand and put it down. The failed marriage has held you back. Raise your hand and put it down. The failed relationships, the failed business opportunities, whatever it may be, you want to ask God to forgive you this morning. A number of people have. Just raise your hand up and put it down. Father God, I pray for those people that have raised their hand this morning. Lord, I thank you. Guilt and shame, we command you to go. We bind you in the name of Jesus. We say, devil, you take your hands off of their mind. You fiery dart that's been attacking them continually, we just command that dart to leave in Jesus' name. That attack has to go in Jesus' name. May the helmet of salvation and the shield of faith work in their lives. May they get up every morning and say, good morning, favor, good morning, Jesus. Thank you for your armor and thank you for the weapons that I'm using today against those things that are trying to capture my mind and my heart and my imagination. Jesus, I want to dream about you. Jesus, I want to fantasize about your plan for my life. Not about adultery or not about sin, Lord. I want to fantasize about the things you have for me. Lord, I want your dream, God, that you have for me to be my dream. Lord, forgive me for following only my dream and not including you. Oh God, where do you want me to go to college? Not where I want to go. Lord, who do you want me to marry? Not who I want to marry. Lord, forgive us for chasing after dead things repetitively and not learning our lesson. Lord, we want life. And we know we can't have it unless we submit our life to you. So we do that this morning. I want to say we love you. We trust you. And God says this morning this, like he said to Peter, he says this to you this morning. It's not if. Is when. because he believes in your turnaround. He believes in what's been placed in you will eventually cause you to turn back to him and to serve his plan for your life. Not if, but when. Because Jesus knew Peter would come back to him. Peter would not allow his failure to define his life. We praise you for that, and we love you for that, God. Thank you, you believe in us. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. I want to encourage you to have a great weekend. Invite some friends over. If you're cooking any T-bone steaks from over here, the White's Meat Market, invite us over tomorrow. It'd be awesome. Well, you guys are awesome. Thank you so much for coming. Why don't you give somebody a hug, a high five, or whatever you're comfortable with. Greet them this morning. You guys have a great holiday weekend.
Check.